I'm Rob. I'm not normally a pastor here at the Rio, but Steve and Dove are on their way back from the conference, as you saw in the announcements. So Steve asked me if I'd like to share a message. You guys get to see me with my reading glasses on because, hey. I'm going to start off with a little story. In the 1950s in Great Britain, there were some interesting experiments done with cryogenics and reanimation of animals in an attempt to preserve blood longer, or even send people to further places in space. As part of these experiments, hamsters were frozen and then thawed using microwaves. Please don't do this at home, okay? The science is done, microwaves are different now, don't do it. So the hamsters were technically dead. They were frozen. No pulse, no respiration, dead. Then they were brought back to life. Evidently, many of them went on to retire and live happy little hamster lives. But what's the biggest difference between the new life that the hamsters had and the new life that each of us can experience? The answer is an intimate relationship with God. We as humans have an opportunity to experience a new life filled with the presence of God. The title of the sermon this morning is New Year, New You. With the new year comes the common practice of resolutions to change something about ourselves, whether it be losing weight, changing a habit, getting rid of the bad ones, starting a new good one, committing ourselves to preparing for this next phase of life, or something else. Many of us see the beginning of the new year as a time of renewal and fresh beginnings, a time in which we can put away the old and start something new and better for ourselves and for our families. With the idea of a new beginning, the premise today is that as followers of Christ, we are new men and women. Our old lives are forever gone. We have a present and a future in which we have the Holy Spirit of God living within us. And we are in eternal communion with God. So each of us falls into one of these three groups of people. Those who are yet to believe. Believers who are filled with guilt about the past or worry about the present or the future. Believers who recognize and are filled with God's peace and His grace. Every one of us falls within one of these three groups. And we have a special opportunity to begin this new year in a growing, exciting relationship with Christ. So let's start off with prayer. Father God, Holy Spirit, be here. Let no one in this room, online, or anything hear a word I say. Let everyone hear from you. Let your Spirit move within us so that we each hear the message that you have for us today. Let our lives be changed eternally because of you, because of what you have done for us, in us, through us. Lord, speak to us today. Change us forever. Let us be your people who go out into this world and make a difference for you. Amen. So we begin with the first group, those who have not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. In the world, in the United States, and in this building, there are men and women who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. Some may believe in God. Many acknowledge the existence of Jesus. Some may have grown up in church and have heard all the stories, all of the sermons about Jesus being God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but they have not yet asked Jesus to forgive their sins. They have not yet acknowledged that only Jesus is Lord. They have not yet believed in Christ as their Lord and Savior. Some of you have not asked Jesus to be your Savior. This is not to belittle this group or shame this group, because I was We were, each of us was once a member of this group. Everyone who has ever lived has been a part of this group of people. It is our natural state. We saw a minute ago with Steve's video. We have been separated from God from our birth. Paul tells us in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Each of us has a rebellious nature. We have all rebelled against the perfect plan of God. How have we rebelled? Ask yourself, have you ever told a little white lie? Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Have you ever hated someone? Have you ever had sex outside of marriage? Have you placed yourself, your self-pleasure, ahead of listening to and obeying God? Each of these things, and many others, is rebellion. Each of these things is a sin. Each of these things separates us from God. Each of these things places an eternal wall between God and us, which we cannot break through. We are forever separated from God. But all is not lost. All is not a story of despair. Although we deserve eternal separation from God, although we deserve spiritual death, there is something better. But God. That short phrase makes all the difference for eternity. But God decided to give each of us the gift of salvation, the gift of freedom from sin and the penalty associated with those sins. God the Father has chosen through Jesus the Son to overcome our rebellion, our sinfulness, and He provided the way to make us right with Himself. In Romans 6:23, we read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The natural consequences of our sin is death, but each of us has been offered a free gift of eternal salvation, eternal life, a new life, a new you, a new me in Christ Jesus. We just celebrated Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ as a baby, the coming of God to earth as a human. In a few months, we're going to celebrate Easter, at which time 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice to pay the penalty of our sins. But he rose again on the third day to ascend and be seated at the right hand of the Father. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus knew that because of our sins, only one perfect sacrifice could ever cover the cost. One perfect sacrifice to cover the cost of all sins forever. The past, the present, and the future. He willingly came to be that perfect sacrifice. And for those who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, for those who accept the gift of salvation he has provided, Jesus tells us through Paul in Romans 8:1 and 10:9, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." For those of us who have believed in Jesus as Lord, there is now no condemnation, now or forevermore. We are secure in our salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. We are saved now, and we will be eternally saved the second we leave this world. where Paul speaks of our separation from God in Romans 3:23. He also speaks of our becoming new creations, new people, in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. We started this morning speaking of a new you. And here is the amazing thing. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become new people. You became, I became, or you will become new when you accept Jesus as Lord. We are no longer slaves to the past, to our rebellion, our sins, our habits, or our addictions. For those who become followers of Jesus, he gives a new life, one in which he is continually present through the Holy Spirit within us. We have a direct connection to God, to commune, to talk, to pray, to lift our joys, our cares, and our concerns, our worries. Our sinful past has been paid for through the gift of Jesus' sacrifice. And God will never hold it against us going forward. Our sins have been erased and our debt forgiven. If you're part of this first group of people, those who have not yet accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, then I beg you. Today is the day to accept Jesus, to accept a new life through the gift of salvation, through the death and resurrection of Christ. Give your life to Jesus before you take a step out of this building, because we do not know what the future holds for us. Do not let your heart be hardened to God, but soften it and accept the love that God wants to pour out upon you. Place your trust and your faith in Jesus as Lord and accept the salvation that he offers you. For our second group of people, believers who are filled with guilt about the past or worry about the future. All right, let's talk about guilt. As a believer, every sin we have ever committed or will commit has been paid for by the death of Jesus. I do not say this lightly, because it is not a light proposition. Every single sin ever committed by a believer was placed upon Jesus as he was on the cross. If each of us, by some miracle, only sinned once per day, and we lived the average American life of 79 years, that's 28,835 sins in your lifetime. 28,835. If you only sinned once a day, but those sins, all 28,835 plus, are paid for. They're covered over. They're gone by Jesus' blood. Therefore, we have no reason to feel guilt. Our sins are dealt with. They're paid for. They are not accounted to us anymore. As a matter of fact, God has chosen to forget our sins. Some of you may be thinking, but you don't know what I've done. My sins are too horrible. God could never forgive me. And if he could, I can't forgive myself. Here's the truth. God knows your sins. God knows everything you or I have ever done, even in the darkest places, the places that we hide our sins. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord, then those dark, hidden secrets, the things which cause you guilt, are all covered over by Jesus' blood. They're paid for. You have been made right with God. And since God has chosen to forgive you, how can you choose not to forgive yourself? If you think that your sins are so especially dark so especially wrong that God cannot, that God's death on a cross cannot pay for them, then you are minimizing what God has done. Do not tell God that his death was in vain, because it wasn't enough to cover over your sins. Paul tells us in Romans 6, 10, and 11, for the death that he died, Jesus, he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The death of Jesus, of God on the cross, only happened one time. Yet it covers all of the sins for those who believe in him. Repent from your lack of faith, your mistrust, and accept the forgiveness of the that covers all of your sins. Accept the forgiveness that Jesus paid for. Accept the forgiveness that God has given you. You and I are new creatures. The people who committed those sins, they're dead. They're gone. We are each given a new life in Christ. That's amazing. It is beautiful. Celebrate your new life and enjoy the peace which God has paid for each of us. Now, what about our worry warts? For those of you who are filled with worry about the present or the future, I mentioned the Holy Spirit before. While Jesus was with his disciples, he told them that he would leave, but he promised to send a helper. In John 14, 16 through 17, Jesus says this, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. You know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. One person of God, the Holy Spirit, has been promised, and he lives within each of us. Each of us as followers of Jesus. The Holy Spirit grants us peace. In Philippians 4, 7, Paul writes, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. We have access to the peace of God to protect our hearts and our minds. The crazy thing is, Paul even tells us that we're not going to completely understand this. We don't have to understand the gift that God is giving us. But he has provided a helper, the Holy Spirit, so we don't have to worry. We have been given an incredible gift. We have the Holy Spirit of God living within us, leading us, guiding us, praying for us. The Bible even says that he groans in prayer for us when we don't know how to pray for ourselves. So trust, commune with God, and let the Holy Spirit be your source of strength. I'm confident that you've all heard this, but in Matthew 6, 25 through 34, Jesus says, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all of his glory, clothed himself like one of those. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So what is God telling us here? God is telling each of us that we are his children, that he loves us, that he will take care of us. I know it's simple for me to say, hey, don't worry, God is in control, he's got this, right? That's easy. But the implication here is that we need to trust God. Trust that he is who he says he is. Trust that he's bigger than all of our problems, and trust that he is really involved in our lives. When Stacy and I were a young married couple, we struggled financially due to some mistakes on our part, some unexpected medical bills, and just things out of our control. God used that time to show us that he was our provider, not us. We weren't in charge, and we could not provide for ourselves. We had to rely on God. Throughout it all, God took care of us. We always had a roof, we always had food, and we always had clothes. Often those things were provided by unexpected miracles. Gifts of formula for Emily, a reimbursement check from insurance company. Who gets that, right? Gifts of cash from anonymous people at church. God is involved in our lives, and he loves us. Focus on him. Trust in him. And he will take care of the things that you're worried about. As a new man or woman in Christ, you can rest assured in your relationship with God. We are filled with the Holy Spirit and are given the ability to give our worries and our concerns over to God. Do that today and every day. Lift your concerns to God because he loves you. Now, to our last group of people. Believers who recognize and are filled with God's peace and his grace. What is the message to this group of people as we start the new year? Remain steadfast. Continue to trust. Pray for others and be encouragers. In Revelation 2 through 7, Jesus tells the church in Ephesus, I know your deeds and your toil, your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you will put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent. Do not do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove you. Remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Jesus is telling the church in Ephesus that he sees that they are doing the right things. They are enduring trials and tribulations, but he's also letting them know that they are doing things for the wrong reason. They have lost their passion for him, their first love. As believers, I'm sure most of us remember the exhilaration that we feel when we first placed our trust in Jesus, when we first gave our lives to him, the desire to do anything for Christ, running hard after him. But after years of faithfully following Jesus, it is possible for things to become rote, doing things without considering the majesty of Jesus. I hope that is not the case for you. But if it is, in this new year, reignite your passion for Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit work in you and remind you of the amazing works that he has done. After you have reignited your passion, continue to trust. Pray for others. The most important things that we can do for others is to share the gospel and to pray for them. Lift others in prayer because your Father in heaven hears you and he loves it when you pray for others. A few weeks ago, Steve asked the church to fill out cards with our prayer requests, and then we put them in a basket and everyone took cards. We've been praying for members of our church and their prayer concerns for about a month now. Let's continue to lift our church family to God. Let's pray for our coworkers, our neighbors, our friends, and our families. Lift your voice to God because he loves to hear from you. Finally, encourage others. How many of you have heard of Joseph, the Levite from Cyprus? Perhaps you haven't heard of him because he had a bigger, better name. In Acts 4, 36 and 37, we see, "Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Barnabas, son of encouragement. Should we not all strive to have the nickname of Barnabas? He was so encouraging to others that it became his name. "Hi, I'm Barnabas. I am a son of encouragement." Stacy and I have a friend from our first church home back in Dallas. His name is Dave, but to us, he's Barnabas. He has always been a steadfast prayer warrior and encourager. Throughout the years, he's called us. He sends text messages. He just checks in on us, no matter the distance or the time. Across the miles, he's been there for us to encourage us. Dave encourages us to follow God well, to prioritize our family, and to love others. So who is a Barnabas to you? And who are you a Barnabas to? Barnabas was such an integral part of the church that the church leaders sent him to Antioch to encourage and teach them. Later, he teamed up with Paul, who at the time was still known as Saul, and he helped teach and mentor Paul. He encouraged Paul. Acts 11, 22 through 26 says, "The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then, when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year they met the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Therefore, believers who recognize and are filled with God's peace and grace in this new year, with your new life, reignite your passion for Jesus. Love him like the day that you gave your life to him. Then love others. Pray for them. Encourage them. Jesus has given you a new life to live for him. So make the most of it. Love others as he loves them." As we close, I encourage those who have not accepted Jesus as Lord to do so now. Do not wait. Do not harden your heart to Jesus. Accept the forgiveness and the love that he wants to pour out upon you by acknowledging your sinfulness and your need for him as a Savior right where you are. You can tell Jesus that you know you need forgiveness for your sins, for your rebellion, that you accept his death on the cross for your sins. You acknowledge his resurrection and that he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. You want him to be Lord of your life now and forever. Here's the great thing. The specific words don't matter, but the intent of your heart is all that matters. Christian, you are a new person. Amen. Hallelujah. Put away the old you, the guilt, the worries. Put on the new you. Renew your passion. Renew your passion for Jesus and encourage others. If you decided today to follow Jesus, or if you need specific prayers, after the music, I'll be up front. Let us know. Let us know how we can pray for you. Let us know how we can walk alongside you. Father, Holy Spirit, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, thank you for the message that you have given to each of us today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you touch each one of us, that your words move our hearts to grow closer to you, to reignite our passions for you, to be new people, celebrating the life that you have given us. It is an amazing, truly awesome gift that you have given us. And I'm dumbfounded by the love that you have poured out on us. Thank you for loving us the way you do. Thank you for letting us love other people. It is in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.